Father in heaven, today we are so grateful that you've given us a chance to rejoice with heaven. We thank you that we have this opportunity to see Adam commit his life. And Lord, there may be someone else here who is also in the valley of decision. And I just pray, Lord, that Adam's testimony might be an encouragement to them, that they might know that you're coming soon and you are calling for their heart and their life. We want to pray that you'll continue to bless Adam as he walks with you. May he grow from strength to strength to become more like you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a few things that I've learned about children, and I don't know much about children. I have to say that, you know, I was an expert about marriage until I got married. And now sometimes I feel like I'm an expert on children, since, as you know, I don't have any. But one thing that I've appreciated learning from those who have more experience than I is that there's a way to build up a young person's self-esteem in a positive way. You know, you don't want to make someone egocentric and narcissistic and so centered, self-centered and full of themselves that they become a little terror or brat, right? Entitled and all the rest. But you want them to have a healthy self-esteem. And one of the things that I've been taught, at least, is that you want to praise children for the good decisions they make. For what? The good decisions they make and the good character that they form. In other words, if I tell a little child, you know, you have such beautiful brown eyes, that child had nothing to do with their brown eyes, right? And so there's not really anything that they had to do with having brown eyes, and there's not really anything, well, they might just become proud of their appearances. But if I tell a person, you know, I appreciate a child, I appreciate how honest you are in telling daddy or mommy what happened, what really happened. You see, now I'm affirming their choices and their character. You see, there's something in life that's very important. It's not so important what you say, what you can say. It's not even so important what you can do. It's not so important what power you have. What's most important is who you are. Who you are. Now, if we think about that for just a moment, we realize that praise is the essence of who God is. We're going to talk about that for just a moment today. We're going to talk about praying with praise as we discuss God's Word together today. You know, this week we had pastors' meetings at Cutter Springs. I spent 3 days there. And one of the takeaways that I came home with was realizing that sometimes I confuse thanksgiving with praise. Do you know the difference between thanksgiving and praise? Now, praise is important and thanksgiving is important. Both of them are important. Both of them are given in Scripture as something that we ought to do. But they're different. They're not one and the same thing. Thanksgiving acknowledges what God has done. Thanksgiving says, thank you, God, for helping me through the day, for giving me a safe trip. Thank you for providing for my needs this month. Thank you for giving us this food that we can eat today. That's thanksgiving. That's giving God gratitude or thankfulness for what he has done. On the other hand, praise acknowledges who God is. There's a difference, isn't there? One is to say, thank you, God, for doing. The other is, thank you, God, for being. And God is not just interested in hearing what he has done. He's interested in hearing our hearts expressing praise for who he is. Because remember, more important than what we can say or what we can do or what we can have power to accomplish, most important is who we are. And the most important thing about God is not that he can speak and life comes into existence. Not that he breathes worlds and stars into existence. The most important thing about God is not what he can do, but who he is. He is a God of love. Thanksgiving fills our hearts with gratitude, while praise fills our hearts with what? With awe, as we think about what kind of a God God is. You know, I want to just pause here in this comparison between thanksgiving and praise. And I want to just mention a little bit of theology, I guess. Do you realize that how we worship reflects our view of God? Have you ever thought about that? Now, don't get me wrong in what I'm about to say, because I realize that God knows we're all in our growth, we're all in a different place in our experience, and God uses different means to reach different people and bring them to know Him. But if we look at church history, I'm a historian, if we look at Christian church history, we will notice that when there was an extremely transcendent view of God, you know what that means? It means God is very, 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 very high. He's way up there, very different from us, which part of that is good, right? Because God is a holy God. And we shouldn't forget that He is a holy God. His name is holy. His character is holy, right? But if God is so far removed, for example, that the church decided we need to have intermediaries between us and Him because He's so far removed, right? If He's so far removed that we cannot contact Him directly, we're just, sinners down here and God's way up there, then we have a worship that is very filled with awe. And if you look at the medieval church, if you look at the church during the Middle Ages, how did they worship? I mean, besides the intermediaries and so forth, they had grand cathedrals. Why? Because they remembered the transcendence of God. God is awesome. And I want to tell you, friends, He is. He is. Now, I personally believe that we can come to Jesus as we are, and Jesus is our mediator. Let me just say it that way. Jesus is our mediator. But I also believe that our God is a holy God. He's a holy God. Now, what you see today, and again, I'm not criticizing either what happened in the past or what's happening today, but do you notice today you see what we might call big box churches? I'm going to stereotype them a little bit here, okay, just for illustration's point. Again, it's not to say that God isn't working, God doesn't use them, but big box churches where it doesn't even feel like a church, it just feels more like a big room, you know, and it doesn't have the acoustics and the grandeur and the stained glass and the awesomeness, the silence, the sacredness that we used to have in the churches of the Middle Ages, and you have more come as you are, and dress as you please, and it's a very relaxed, casual. And Jesus, God, is very much more become, in their thinking, more of a one of us. Now, somewhere I think there's a middle ground for us to be had. The point I'm trying to make is just this. God is an awesome God. And when we think about praise, it ought to fill our hearts, overwhelm our hearts, with awe as to who God is, because our God is a holy God. Our God is an awesome God. And thanksgiving, on one hand, will make us more positive. It will keep us cheerful. It will keep us grateful. Thanksgiving is a wonderful thing, but thanksgiving can't do what praise can do. Thanksgiving makes us more positive, but praise is transformative to make us more like God. Now, what do you say? Why do I say that? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. If you have your Bibles, we're going to spend some time in God's Word here right now. So go ahead and pull out your Bibles or smartphones or less smartphones or whatever you have that you have your Bible on. And we always assume that people are looking at the text and not texting in church. So 2 Corinthians, we're going to look at first, chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 18. This is the principle that makes praise so powerful in our lives. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 18. This is what it says. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, or the King James says a glass, a looking glass, the glory of the Lord. Now, what's the glory of the Lord? It's the character of God. Beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what does this verse say? Does this verse say that when we become a Christian, we are instantaneously perfect and we are just like God? Is that what it says? Is that what it says? No, it says, as we are Christians, we behold as in a mirror the glory or the character of God, and we're changed from glory to glory. That means our character today is not the same as our character is going to be tomorrow. Praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. God transforms our character, transformed from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So God's power will transform your life and my life so that as we look at Jesus and behold the character of God, the glory of God, the awesomeness of God, not just what He does, but who He is, the more time we spend focused on who God is, the more we will be able to become like Him. Are you with me? Do you think this is important? Oh, listen. I believe that God wants us not to just have the grace that forgives us for our sins. God wants to give us even more grace than that. He wants to give us the grace to transform us, to become more and more like Him. Now, how does that happen? According to 2 Corinthians 3:18, it happens not by us trying harder or following a checklist or having a whole bunch of accomplishments to our name, coming to church and everything is good. But listen, there's only one way you and I will become more like Jesus. And that's if we spend time thinking about who He is. What better way to think about who He is than to praise Him? What better way than to praise Him? Now let's look at some examples. Let's look at some examples in Scripture of praise. And we're actually going to see in these examples both thanksgiving and praise. So if you have your Bibles, again, turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. And we're going to look at one of the early anthems of praise from God's people. This is corporate worship now we're talking about. God's people have been delivered from Egypt. They've been trapped between the mountains and Pharaoh's army. And then God divided the waters of the Red Sea, and they were able to pass through on dry ground. Do you think they were happy? Yes. Do you think they were thankful? Do you think they had some praise to sing? Yes, they did. Exodus chapter 15, we're going to look starting with verse 1. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation.'" Now, let me ask you a question. Is it more thanksgiving or praise? It's thanksgiving. God did this. He's triumphed. The horse and his rider is talking about is the Egyptian army that has been drowned in the Red Sea. It says, "He is my God, and I will praise Him. My father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name." Do you see some praise starting to creep in there? Yeah. He's trying to say, it's not just what God did, it's what God is. God is a man of war. He is a mighty protector. He is the one who is my salvation. And He is the one who is my Savior from my enemies. That's all praising who God is in the life of the church. And it says, Pharaoh's chariots and his army He has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. And then he says, "Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power." Do you see how he's interchanging thanksgiving and praise? "Your right hand is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. In the greatness of your excellence." Is that thanksgiving or praise? That's praise. That's saying, "God, You are an amazing God. The greatness of Your excellence," he says. "You have overthrown those who rose against You. You sent forth through Your wrath." If we skip on down, verse 11, he continues. And I want you to see, is this thanksgiving or praise? "Who is like You, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like You, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" What is that? That's praise. You see? I want to ask you a question. How much time have you spent praising this week? Just take a brief moment, reflect back on the week, and ask yourself, How much time have I spent praising? Not thanking. Thanking is important, don't get me wrong. But praising. Oh, God wants us to praise. Let's look at another passage and we can explore some more of the difference between thanksgiving and praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, this is the inauguration of the Temple of Solomon, the grandest temple ever built to glorify the name of God. It was one of the wonders of the ancient world and of the world at that time. And 2 Chronicles chapter 6, we find the story of Solomon and his words. And of course, it was an amazing experience, a beautiful building, beautiful brand new temple. And it came to pass, it says at the end of verse chapter 5, that when the trumpeters and singers were as one, can you imagine hearing this glorious choir? They were in unison. It was just, they were singing together. And to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good." Is that thanksgiving or praise? That's praise, right? "He is good, and his mercy endures forever." That's praise. "That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God." Verse 6, chapter 6 now, verse 1. "Then Solomon spoke, 'The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house, a house for you to dwell in forever.' Then the king turned and said to the whole, turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel, while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has fulfilled with his hands what he spoke with his mouth to my father David, saying,'" and the prophecy that he would dwell among them and build a temple and so forth. So verse 10, "So the Lord fulfilled his word which he spoke, and I have filled the position of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel. And I have built the temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel, and there I have put the ark in which the covenant of the Lord which he has made with the children of Israel." And so if we go on, and we go skip down chapter 6 towards the end of the chapter now, and we're going to see a prayer beginning with verse 40. "Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open and let our ears be attentive to the prayer made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place. You and the ark of your strength, let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, your saints rejoice in goodness." And this prayer is a part praise, part thanksgiving for what God has done. We notice that God is a God who delights in the praises and the prayers of his people. We're going to look at a couple more examples here before we end. Daniel chapter 9, one of my favorite prayers in all the Bible. Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to look at how Daniel mixed thanksgiving and praise in his prayers. I hope that you understand as I share today, I'm not saying we shouldn't be grateful for what God has done. I think God likes it when we recognize his goodness. When I was serving as a teacher, I remember I used to sometimes get a little discouraged because I felt like my students only came to say anything to me when they needed something. You know, and even a teacher likes to feel like they're worth more than just, you know, help. Maybe they're valuable as a person or something, I don't know. But whenever I would start feeling that way, the Holy Spirit would speak to my mind and say, "Chester, how do you think I feel when 99% of the time when you pray, it's because you have something to ask of me. You have something you need from me. And even when you get it, you don't even say thank you." Yeah. Isn't it interesting how we judge others for the very sins we are guilty of? I found that to be true so many times in my life. The Holy Spirit just has to speak to me and say, "Chester, you're the one that does this. You just don't even really realize it." And here we see Daniel not with that experience. Daniel is having an experience where he's not judging other people or excusing himself. He actually includes himself in the prayer here. And we don't have time to look at this whole prayer. Maybe you can read it on your own as we go
as you go home today. But notice, let's just look at the beginning of the prayer. And it says in verse 3, I set my face toward the Lord God, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3, to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God. What is that? That's praise. The first words out of Daniel's mouth are praise. O Lord, great and awesome God. It doesn't matter that we're in Babylonian captivity, you're still a great and awesome God. It doesn't matter that my parents were killed, no doubt, and I was taken and made a eunuch and made as a captive in a foreign land. Listen, you are a great and awesome God. When we focus on praise, it actually allows us to forget about ourselves and keep our eyes on Jesus. And when you turn your eyes on Jesus, as the song says, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You see, my friends, if you want to be in that presence, you've got to look at who God is. You've got to spend time with Him. Oh Lord, You are a great and awesome God who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and those who keep His commandments. Now that is what God does, but I'm going to propose to you that He's still praising. He's basically saying, You are a covenant-keeping God. You keep Your promises. That's who God is, right? He is a dependable God. He is a trustworthy God. He's an honest God. And even though it's been nearly 70 years, and that's what Daniel's studying about, it's time for God's people to be returned to Jerusalem, for Jerusalem to be rebuilt, and it looks like it's not going to happen anytime soon. God, You are a promise-keeping God. I still believe You are that God. He's praising who God is. Oh, listen, sometimes we become discouraged with no real reason because there's still a God on the throne, right? And when I get discouraged, it's because I've looked at myself instead of looking to Him. When I get discouraged, it's because I've dwelt upon what I can do instead of what He can do, who I am instead of who He is. And God wants us to spend time praising Him. We could go through this whole prayer, but you get the idea. Daniel is praising God. I want us to look also at Psalm 150. Psalm 150. This is perhaps, I mean, the Psalms, almost every Psalm is a Psalm of praise. David is the great praiser. Can I call him that? I don't know if that's a word or not, but it is now, right? Psalm 150 is the conclusion of the whole collection of David's Psalms or songs of praise. And notice with me, I mean, it's like he's got to the end of his paper, maybe. I don't know, he ran out and something. He's writing the last psalm, and it's as if he wants us to remember the theme of his book. It's the grand conclusion. It's the epilogue. It's what he wants us to go away with remembering after we read Psalms, right? And here it says, Psalm 150. What does it say? What does it start with? Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then if we didn't get the idea, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's the theme of David's life. That's the theme of David's songs. Praise the Lord. If you're living, if you're breathing, you have a calling, a divine mandate, and that is to praise God. I ask myself the question again, how much have I praised God this week? Our last passage we'll turn to is actually the example prayer that Jesus gave for us, Matthew chapter 6. If you want to turn with me there, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at the sample prayer that Jesus gave us. When you pray, this is how you should pray. Remember, the disciples came to Him. They had heard His prayers. They knew that His prayers were answered. They knew that prayer was a personal correspondence relationship between Jesus and the Father, and they wanted that kind of experience. And so they came to Him, and they asked Him how they should pray, teach us to pray. In the other Gospels, it tells us that part of the story. And Jesus here is telling them how not to pray in Matthew 6. And then in verse 5, it says, when you should pray, you should not be like the hypocrites and should be seen of men and so forth. Verse 8, therefore be not like them, for your Father knows the things you have need before you ask Him. So you don't need to spend all of your time just making a litany of lists of things to tell God, do this for me, do this for me. No, prayer is not so that get things out of God. It's not like one of those vending machines you see, you know, where you put a quarter in, you get two gumballs. Put another quarter in, you get another two gumballs. That's not prayer. Prayer is not intended for you to be able to extract something out of God. Prayer is intended for us to have a relationship with the King of Kings and to come into His presence and to be overwhelmed with His awe, and with awe of His glory and of His character, so that we can be transformed to be more like Him. Listen, God already knows the things we need. He would be able to provide for us much easier if we would just get our hearts in a right relationship with Him. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for things. God tells us to pray. But this is the example of the model prayer. And he says here, when you pray in this manner, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed is your name. What is that? You are a holy God. A holy God. Your character is holy. That's praise, isn't it? Hallowed is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's surrender, isn't it? It's allowing God to have us, take us, use us. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, everything is done according to God's will, right? Perfectly. They obey. When I pray that prayer, it's me giving permission to God to have His will in my life. Now, this is not just something we do when we're baptized, Adam. This is something that we do every single day. And sometimes the day doesn't go as we plan, but you know what? If our heart and will is surrendered to Jesus, then we can accept whatever life brings as coming from His hand, because He doesn't make mistakes. And He only allows those things that to come to us that He knows He can prepare a way of escape for us, that we can be able to bear it. So, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then we have requests, don't we? Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So I want to just take a moment now. We have about 2 minutes. I want to take a moment. And I want to give us an opportunity to give thanksgiving and praise. Now, we don't have microphones out there. I want us to just be like one sentence. If you have something you're thankful for or you'd like to praise God for, this is just an opportunity to say, I'm thankful for this. I praise God for being such and such. And you know, I heard already this morning, Peggy, where's Peggy? Peggy told me, she had a Thanksgiving. What was it, Peggy? That's a Thanksgiving, amen? Now, what can we say to praise God for that experience? Praise God that He is a protector. Isn't God an awesome God? Praise the Lord. Something else somebody's thankful for today. Dora. He's a powerful God, and He answers prayer, and He loves us. He's a loving God. Thank you. What an amazing God. Yes. God is merciful. He doesn't give me what I deserve. Isn't God a good God? Yes. Oh, you think we ought to be more merciful? Yeah. Anyone else? Someone have something they're thankful for, want to praise God for? Yes. Bob. God is a patient God, and He is a forgiving God. John. God is still on the throne. He is, after all, King of Kings, isn't He? Yes. That's what we need to remember. He's King of... We can praise Him because He is in control. Thank you. Someone else, something they're thankful for, want to praise God for. Valerie. God what? Great physician. He's a healing God. Yes. Paul. God never leaves us. He's faithful. Can we praise God for being faithful?
Yes, ups and downs of life. He's faithful. Yes, sir. Yes, thankful for joy. Aren't you glad that God made us with emotions and He fills us with joy? What amazing God. Yes. For never giving up on us. Yes, Linda. He is my Savior. He took me. He's not only my substitute, but my example. We can praise Him for that, right? What an amazing testimony of who God is. Yes, sir. Miracles. God is a miracle working God. Amen. Yes, Franco. He has given us life. He is the source of life, isn't He, Lucy? So we thank God that He provides, and we praise Him because He is the provider. I heard her say, what an amazing God. Isn't God good? You think we ought to talk about it more? Think about it more, Joseph. Yes. Wow. God changes not consistent. Wow, if we could be more like Him. Joseph.
Praise God for His unconditional love and patience He has for all of us. And praise God also for His Son.
Amen. Unconditional love, patience. Yes, sir.
I thank the Lord for just the blessings of life and the things that we take for granted He has given us.
Yes.
And we don't thank Him enough for it.
Every day, we just take it for granted. Exactly. The food we eat, the water we drink, the air we breathe, it's all a gift of God. Thank you. God's our provider. Silas. Knowledge. Okay. He is wisdom, isn't He? The fear of the Lord connects us with Him, and wow. Thank you. We could explore that. Doug. He is knowable. He's approachable, isn't He? He wants to dwell with us. Knowable. That's an amazing... I mean, do you think of a transcendent God, but He says, I want to dwell, abide in me and I in you? Powerful. We can praise God for being a knowable God. Yes. Yes.
Thankful for hope.
For hope. Yes. God gives us hope. He's a hopeful God. The past doesn't matter. The present doesn't even matter. Because He says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Yes, so many things that we could praise God for. Do you think we ought to praise God more?
Yes.
Not just thank Him. I hope this week you will think about the difference between thanksgiving and praise in your time with God, that you will spend time just praising Him for who He is. By God's grace, I hope it will make you and me more like Him as well. That's my desire. Is that your desire?
Yes.
You want to have that experience? Father in heaven, we just thank You that You've given to us such a call in the Scripture, not just to express gratitude, but to express praise. And Lord, I thank You for being a hearing, answering God who loves to hear the thanksgiving and praise of Your people. So today, Father, I just pray that You would help us to fill our hearts with praise, that as we think of all the many, many characteristics, we've just scratched the surface of who You are. We could stay all day and still not even be a drop in the bucket of the amazing, holy, majestic, awesome, powerful God You are, yet loving and approachable and hopeful and all of the things that we've shared. Lord, thank You for being that kind of a God. Help us to become more like You, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.